There is an unseen hand to me that leads in ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads where'er I go. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this dreary land, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still holding to the unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story saved by grace. And there upon that golden strand, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this dreary land, and some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still holding to the unseen hand, still holding to the unseen hand.
Amen. All right, thank you, Mark. We are looking at different aspects of ministries. Last week we looked at our teenagers and some thoughts related to that. Today we're going to look at children. Teenagers kind of apply to that too, but we're going to look at that. There are, if we look at our society, and I'm not being negative, I'm just being realistic, and we understand it's the end time, so this is why this is happening, but our society is really getting worse and worse. And really, there's not. We may have a measure of change, but in the long term, it's just this is the way the world is going. And if you look at it and you try to figure out, particularly in our country, what has really, really fueled this change from a radical, non-biblical, non-moral stance that has come across our country. Really, the biggest change has been that society has got to the young people, has got to the children. And our children have been really, in a sense, by our society, brainwashed. Oh, yeah. To where anything that even smacks of being moral or right is looked and frowned down upon. And by the way, it has gotten worse. It has happened in the school system. Really, if you ask me, the number one thing that has caused the destruction of our society or down that path, it's when they got a hold of the school systems. When God was kicked out, and it's been replaced with all kinds of nonsense, and it's worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. And I know some here, you know, and I know particularly on Sundays when we talk about that, it's like, oh, you're just saying that because you have a Christian school. We're not just saying that because we have a Christian school. We have a Christian school for a reason. It's near to impossible. It's not impossible, but it's near to impossible to really live for God and survive in a public school system. I just hate to say that. And I have friends, I have family that are Christian and have raised their kids in that type of situation and sent them off to public institution, and they're concerned about the things that their children now believe. And it's like, to me, it doesn't shock me one bit, because that's what the school system has done. And now it has stretched out. Now it's just in society in general. And with the proliferation of technology and the internet, it is even worse. And so the battle was basically won or lost with the young people. And so as Christians, we need to win that battle. The battle is won where? It's won in the home. You say, isn't it won in the church? Yes, but not if the home is not really on board. The home's got to choose to be a part of the church. And by the way, it's hard in some instances for the church to undo in a few hours each week what a public school system is pouring into them on a daily basis. It is hard to undo in just a few hours what the internet and all technology is pouring into people's minds. It's just hard. Now, I know some, you know, we have some kids here, and they're not allowed to maybe go to the Christian school, and their parents don't understand that, and with God's grace, they can make it. But can I just tell you something? In an overall scheme of things, it's been lost because of society, but it has to be won in the home.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so, with that being said, whenever anybody would talk about children, you know, there are no experts, you know, there are people, I'm an expert in my family. I'm an expert in child rearing. When someone says that, they say it because number one, they're single, or number two, they don't have children. Okay. Everybody's an expert on what to do until you get that little thing in the home and at 3 a.m. they start screaming. Okay, and so, but we need to learn it. We did not learn it, as I mentioned last week. Many of us did not grow up in a Christian home. And so we didn't naturally learn Christian principles at home. And so what do we do? Well, we either learn child rearing from seeing it modeled, which is in our homes. And by the way, those of you that do have Christian homes, thank God for that. Okay, well, my parents aren't perfect. Get in line. And by the way, you're not perfect either, okay? But we either see it modeled or we have to be motivated to learn. We have to be motivated to find out what does God want and how am I going to do this thing? And so we need to learn it proactively. Look at Psalm chapter 127, a verse we reference often. It says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Not during church, by the way. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. Now, before we get into the few points, I do want to point out a couple things that Psalm chapter 127 does tell us. It tells us very clearly we cannot raise children by ourselves. We need God's help. Okay? Anybody that thinks they can do anything of a spiritual nature by themselves is extremely delusional. We need God's help in everything we do. That doesn't mean we shouldn't put the effort in, but without God's help, we're spinning our wheels a lot of times. And so he's telling us that. We get that basically from the Bible, being at church and materials that we learn from on a regular basis. And then he also mentioned something that's not really caught today. Children are a blessing. Now, I've met some, just barely, okay? Children aren't meant to be a curse. Children are meant to be a blessing. And our society doesn't see that. When I get ready in the morning, I have this little Google thing in my room, and it has this little thing every morning. It'll tell me the news. And I was listening this morning, and the news they set up in Coachella, where what's that city? Yeah, that one. They said that somebody was caught on video throwing 7 puppies in a garbage can. Now they got arrested, and they're facing 7 felony counts. Now, by the way, I don't think you should mistreat animals. But let's be serious here for a second. 7 felony counts for throwing puppies in a trash can, but a doctor can choose to let a baby die after a botched abortion. Is it just me, or is there something wrong with that? Our principles in our society are all messed up. And children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. And we don't see that. Tonight, I want to give you a couple thoughts. I believe there's 5 of them from Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. And we will not be long. I know, ladies, you have a meeting and you're getting ready to go out of town. And And that's good. All right, Proverbs chapter 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So from Proverbs, we're not back in Proverbs, okay? We did that for several years, and I'm not saying we won't teach out of Proverbs again, but let me give you some thoughts from this verse. First of all, number one, child rearing is your responsibility. Now, train up a child in the way he should go. I'm not an English major. I think that's the subject there might be implied. You. He's talking to you. He's telling you, train up a child. Well, who's he talking to? The parents. And we mentioned this a little bit last week, but it is the parents' responsibility, the main responsibility for their upbringing. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Okay, most kids don't want to learn that way. They'd rather read a book than that one. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. By the way, many children in our society are left to themselves. Most of the child, you know, watching for the parents, oh, I turned my camera on accident, should have got a selfie, is right here, the screen. Here you go, mijo, just be quiet. Okay, no, mijo, you're going to sit up and be quiet. You know, oh, Jeremy just text me. Okay, but you know, you can't, it just cracks me up. You go out to eat something and you see a family at the next table eating and they all have their phones out. And it's like, why go out to eat? That costs money. You know these restaurants they have where you can, restaurants now you can take food out, a lot of the high-end restaurants. You know what I'm talking about? And I just, there's something about, I will never do that. It's like, but you can take it out, but it's like, I'm not going to pay restaurant prices for food to not eat there. The whole reason to go to a restaurant usually is you're going out with somebody. Okay, maybe I'm just too old school. But they sit there and it's like, but that's how we, here child, take this and get out of my life, okay? And that's not really good. We need to be proactive. Let me say this, fathers, you must purposely be involved. Malachi 4, 5 to 6, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Wow, what's the important ingredient there? Dad. You know, dad, let me say this. Moms are vitally important, but dads are, not that anybody's more important, but dads are more important. Because so many dads disassociate themselves. Okay? You know, hey, if your wife is going to the couples retreat, I gotta watch my kid. Brother Pineda, help me with this. Okay? He says it all the time. I'm like, I get it, Brother Pineda, quit rebuking me. Like, yeah, I'm babysitting my kids. He goes, You're not babysitting your kids. It's called parenting. And listen, I know some of you, you're watching your children while your wife goes to a couple of, and I know, I'm gonna have to babysit Jack and Josiah, okay? We're sitting at dinner, and Josiah's saying, how come you don't do fun stuff with us like you did when we were little kids and mom went away? I'm like, maybe it's because you're 20. Go do something. I said, okay, mijo, we'll go out. We'll take you out, we'll get some cotton candy, and we'll walk in the park, and then we'll come home and we'll snuggle. He doesn't want to do that. Neither do I. Okay? But you know what, fathers? You ought to be front and center in your family. All of our children, their very first word was da-da. Except for Allison. Her first word was baba. She had issues. Okay? But dads, you're very important. Oh, that's mom work. I'm doing man stuff. You gotta be with your families. That's very, very important. But parents, take the bull by the horns. Say, you know, my children are my responsibility. So child rearing is your responsibility. Number two, you have to have a plan. He says, train up a child. Training is usually organized. Someone gave me a book. Now, I do not espouse these people at all, and I'm not going to tell you their name, but one of my in-laws many years ago gave it. They're like borderline Amish people. It was called Train Up. And, I was going to say that, but thank you. And I'm like, some of the stuff they're talking about, I'm like, excuse me? I mean, they're talking about, you train horses, and here's how you train horses, and here's how you train children. And I know sometimes our children smell like horses, okay? I get that. But that's the point. Train up. There's a system. There's a plan. You want the product without the process. Most of us don't plan to fail in anything, but we fail to plan, so we do. I'm just giving you a couple thoughts. I gave you some others last week with the teenagers, which would also just deal with children. I get it. But here's a couple others. Have a scheduled life for your child, for your child and family. Have a schedule. Now, I'm not saying every minute. I know some people are like, every minute, got to be scheduled, blah, blah, blah. Remember, I was in my, when I was in Bible college, I went into this other dorm with this guy, and he had his schedule there, and literally, he had everything scheduled down to every 5 minutes, including when he went to the restroom. Now, I'm thinking, how do you schedule that? Because if you drink too much water, that's going to blow the schedule. Okay, I'm just being, I said, does the guy follow the schedule? He goes, no. I'm like, that's impossible. But you ought to have a basic schedule. By the way, here's a good thing in schedule, and you're here tonight on Tuesday instead of Thursday. Thank you. But church ought to be in the schedule. I mean, I just put it in the schedule. Church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night tonight. But Thursday night next week, that's a non-negotiable for me.
Amen.
Non-negotiable. I'm there every single time. And your children ought to just know, church is scheduled, we go. Okay, and I throw in there soul winning. Okay, it's just, but whatever, you have to have a schedule. Now I will say this. You have to, one thing Pastor Esposito taught us, which was great, the character quality of flexibility. Okay, he did that. Now certain people on our staff that are overly organized, it would kill them. But it's like, you got to learn flexibility. But just because you're flexible doesn't mean you don't have a system in place, all right? Children need continuity. They need that. There's security in them in a regular sense and really in a spiritual sense when there's a schedule. By the way, I wouldn't miss a Thursday night service because Aunt Martha wanted to have us over for dinner. I'm not going to do that. Because I am not going to teach my children that you deviate from the spiritual schedule. When church time, it's church time. Aunt Martha, we can eat at her house on Wednesday. Unless she can't cook, then we'll move on. But just have some type of schedule. Too many of us live like drug addicts. Okay? And I understand. I don't go to bed at the same time every night. I go around the bed. There's like an hour thing there. Okay? And there's less something's going on. But the kids ought to have some semblance of, here's our basic schedule. Here's the basic things in our life that we do. Okay? That really builds stability. We mentioned this, we will not spend a lot of time, but B, get them involved with church. You know, you can have this thing, well, I can't serve anymore because I have children. Why don't you serve with your children? Now, I understand babies. I get it. Okay, now my wife, she shouldn't like me say it, but when we were here in the early days, she was on Brother Pineda's bus route. And she'd take all of our children, no matter how old they were, out with her. Now, she did this, not me. She took Hannah out. She had Hannah on early Wednesday morning, and she was out on her bus route visiting on Saturday and picking up. Now, I told her to stay home. And I don't quite get the Mexican mentality. I think there's something in there that has to do with that kind of stuff. Now, she's a little older. She doesn't do that. But it's like, you know, someone has a baby, and all of a sudden they can't serve God anymore. Now, I'm not saying be here 100 hours. I'm not, you know what I'm saying. Be involved. And as those children get, Tim gave a testimony in staff meeting where he's going soul winning and he's taking his daughter with him. By the way, there's an advantage there. No one's going to say no to a little child, right? They just can't. I remember we'd sell candy and Emily was about 3 or 4 and my wife's like, you got to go candy selling with us. This is amazing. And it was raining, and she put her in this little cute outfit with a little cute hat, and it's pouring rain, and I'm just standing away. She had like a 70 or 80% success rate. No one could tell her no. I remember we were over by Wilson High School, and these kids were walking by, and she's like, will you buy a candy bar? And the kid bought a candy bar. Now I was standing. They didn't know I was her dad. And the kid walked back. He goes, you idiot, why did you buy the candy bar from that kid? And he goes, she was just so cute, I couldn't say no. Take your kids soul winning, because when they see you at the door, they're not thinking, wow, you're so cute, I can't say no. But get your kids involved in serving the ministry with them. Letter C, look for opportunities to teach them things. They do some things in life, that's a good time to teach them. We had one of our kids one time, I won't say who they are, but they were over my, very small, they were over my sister's house and took something from there that wasn't theirs. Like, where'd that come from? Okay, I know where that came from. So I made them call my sister and apologize. And they were crying and everything. But it's like, you're not going to steal. You ever see a kid? They all do this, right? Where'd you get that? I found it. It's not yours. I know, but I found it. That means it belongs to somebody else. And it's like, yes, I don't care if you found it. It's somebody else's. But you teach them in life when you say, my kid does really weird things. They all do. You do weird things. So look for opportunities when things happen. Letter D, work together with your spouse. Children are great. They can play one against the other, right? Yeah. Mom will say no, so I'll ask dad. Or dad will say no, so I'll ask mom. Don't let them do that stuff. With some folks, you ought to have a rule like, if dad says no and they go ask mom, that's automatic discipline. Because you're not allowed to do that. So work together, don't work against each other. The worst thing one parent can do to the other's authority is to go against them. Yep. Openly in front of the children. Don't do that. Number D, E, whatever, the next one. Training involves punishment and rewards. We don't understand that in our society. By the way, jail, and I hope people get reformed in jail, but that's not the main purpose of jail. The main purpose of jail is punishment. Now, yes, while they're there, try to reform them. But it should be a deterrent. By the way, there's no deterrence anymore. People get away with all kinds of nonsense. But children need punishment when they do wrong, but we also need to reward them when they do right. Too many of us, we get the punishment thing and we don't do the reward thing. And too many of you try to reward your kids for something they shouldn't be rewarded for. Okay, they're crying in the store, and it's like, here, I'll give you a candy bar, quit crying. That's not a reward, that's a bribe. Yep. And now little Mijo's going to know that every time they go to the store, they cry and they get what they want. Yep. But punishment, reward. Jason came to me the other day. Jason is a great kid. He's got a great heart, but sometimes his actions don't quite catch up to his heart. And so the 4 and 5-year-olds, if they misbehave, they get their name. They have to sit on the bench the first 5 minutes of break. I'm like, Jason, I don't even ask him anymore. I get depressed. Jason, do you get to sit on the bench? I sit on the bench. I told him, I said, listen, Jason, next time you don't sit on the bench, come by and I'll give you a dollar. So the other day, he comes banging on my office door. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm not on the bench, Grandpa. And he gave me a hug. I'm like, good job, buddy. I'm like, that's right. I promised you a dollar 2 months ago. But he got his dollar. Amen? That's the only one he'll get the rest of the year. I guarantee it. So let's reward them. By the way, make sure the punishment fits a crime. They're sitting at the table. They spill a glass of milk. You're suspended for 3 months. It was an accident. Okay, now if they were careless, they don't get any more milk that for that meal. But we give them 3 months for spilling milk, and then they stab some kid at school, and you're like, all right, don't do that again. Okay, let's make sure it all works out together. All right, number 3, the goal is to make them mature Christians and individuals. It says, train up a child. We don't want them to be children the rest of their lives. By the way, most adults are children. They are. You know, we don't believe in teen dating. I just don't think they're ready for it. Fact of the matter is, I don't think many 30-year-olds I know are ready for it. We just have such a low maturity level, okay? I remember years ago we had a guy come by and, oh, we're going to give you a financial plan. I'm like, have a good time with that. And then he's like, now you're going to want to put away money for your children to go to college. I'm like, nope, they'll pay for their own way. I'm not paying their way. It's like, he just thought that was weird. I'm like, they'll figure it out. They're going to Bible college anyhow, but still, they'll figure it out. They can work. But we want to make them mature individuals, and constantly babying them isn't going to do that. Okay? And by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. Moms. I thought it was a Mexican thing. I'm married to one, so I'm not racist here. But like, the Miho ministry. I'll tell my wife something, she'll do something. I'm like, don't Miho them. Let them figure it out. Okay? But you know, here's our society now. You don't want little Jose or whatever. Let's get away from the Hispanic. What's a Filipino name? Pachardo. You don't want little Pachardo scraping his knee. Hey, little Pachardo needs to scrape his knee. Now, I don't like my son-in-law very much at all, Ryan. But I do like one thing about him. You know, if the boys fall down and they get hurt, he's like, so what? Get up. Yeah, I remember Ellie. Ellie falls all the time. I'm serious. If they ever say she falls into sin, it's like, well, she's been falling her whole life, so what's the difference? But she always falls. And I remember at our house, she fell in the backyard. She started to cry, and none of the adults were out there. And I looked out there, and Jason walks up to her as compassionately as possible and says, get up. You know what she did? She got up, and she quit crying. I'm like, that's a good boy, except when he's in school. Okay? But listen, you mothers are ruining our boys. Let them be boys. I know, and I know that's not popular now. You want them to, the boys want to dress like the girls. By the way, there's something behind that. The transgenderism didn't start last week, okay? And let them be boys. Well, they might get hurt. It's good for them to get hurt. My mom would freak out if she knew what we did as kids. We'd go play on construction sites. And I remember the apartments up on Cherry and DeLamo, they're building them, and they had a board that wide going from one apartment, second floor balcony to the other, across the empty pool, because it wasn't filled yet. It was brand new. We walked across it. Now, I think back now, like, what were we thinking? I mean, 25, 30 feet across, and if we would have fell into that pool, we'd have died. But we'd have been men. Now, I'm not for that. But let's do that. Okay, number four. I'm really hurrying here. Give principles and guidelines. Train up a child in the way. There's a specific way they should go. You understand that? This isn't like, well, I feel we should do that. What's the way they should go? Well, let's just follow what the Bible says. That is the best way for them to go. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself, we looked at it early, bring it to himself, shame. Give them guidelines. Rules are not bad things. And I know nobody likes rules, right? Nobody. But can I tell you something? Rules, regulations, principles, those are good for us. Amen. And so give principles and give guidelines. Don't let them do what they want. Too many of that. We're afraid to discipline our children. I've given this illustration many years ago, but it still irritates me. We're on vacation one time. I was listening to the radio. It was a talk show. We're in the middle of nowhere. And this lady, it was talking to someone, and they're just going back and forth, says, you know, I'm so proud of myself and my child rearing. The lady goes, explain it to me. She goes, my daughter came downstairs, and she was wearing something I didn't like, something I didn't want her to go out in public in. And she goes, I was mad, and I was going to say something to her. She goes, but I was so proud of myself, I gave myself a timeout, and I didn't say anything. Excuse me? Isn't that the parent's job? It's like, hey, sweetheart, turn around and get up there. You know, or say like, hey, you know what we'll do? We'll take that down and we'll give it to one of the grade school kids. It'll fit them. But where's the parenting? Oh, that didn't go over very well. I'm sorry. Where's the parenting? That's your job. And let me say this. Don't make your children mad and don't provoke them to anger, but sometimes they ought to just like, I don't get that. Sometimes your wife ought to feel that way too, by the way. I don't get it. Say, you don't have to get it. I'm in charge here. Okay, and if you don't like it, we're willing to go that route. But you have to set up the guidelines. The inmates don't run the asylum. Lastly, don't let them do what they want. Make them do what's right. In the way he should go. Yes, sir. I love these parents. Like, I'm not going to force my child to go to church. You force them to take a shower? Come on. You force them to go to school? Okay, long as they live under my roof, you'll go to that church. And by the way, let me say this. When you're doing these things, the younger they are, the stricter you have to be. See, we funnel it. It's the funnel thing, right? the stricter they are when they're younger, as they get older, they should catch those things, and then they get a little measure, not of freedom, but they get a little measure of it because now they've learned those things already. We let the little kids be a holy terror, and then once they get to teenagers, it's like, let's restrict them. Now's the time to restrict them when they're throwing themselves on the ground and throwing a tantrum. That's the time to get to them. Okay? Okay, let's stop right there. We're done. Let's pray.